Well, as I'm sure many of us will know, this psalm of David is a psalm where he speaks to his own soul and he encourages his soul to bless the Lord, to worship God. So verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And as and to try to and to encourage himself to praise God, to bless God, he reminds himself, he speaks to himself about many wonderful characteristics, many wonderful attributes that God has. And what I want to do this morning is to draw out from this psalm three particular things that David says. Because we also, do we not, need to be reminded to bless the Lord. Is it not true that we, who are believers, sometimes get down? We sometimes find life getting on top of us, whether it be because of health concerns, whether it be because of family worries, whether it be because of financial hardship, or maybe things happening in the world, the different things we hear on the news get us down, and the state of society or the unbelief of people around us. And so we also need to be encouraged. We also need to have our eyes turned to the Lord, and we need to refocus upon him and to consider his goodness. And so as we do so this morning, I'd like to draw out three things from this psalm, which I hope, if you are already a believer, God will use to encourage you and strengthen you in your faith. And if you are not already a believer, God will use to draw you to himself and to put your faith in him. So we're in Psalm 103, and we're on page 594 in our church Bibles. And the three things I'd like to draw out from this psalm are this. First of all, that God forgives the sins of those who trust in him. Secondly, that God has compassion on his people and remembers that they are weak. And the third is that God loves his people with an everlasting love. So let us think about these three things this morning. The first, then, that God is forgiving. He forgives the sins of his people. Have a look at verse 3 in front of you there. Or I'll read from verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity. Iniquity is another word for sin, wrongdoing. God forgives all the sin of the soul of the one who belongs to him. Look down also at verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins or repay us according to our iniquities. Where would you be, where would I be, if God dealt with you, if God dealt with me according to our iniquities. Well, we wouldn't even be alive today, would we? We would have been struck down dead a long time ago. But thanks be to God, he does not deal with us according to our sins. He does not repay us according to our iniquities. And then look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? Well, you cannot measure the distance of the east from the west. If you were to go east from here and go on and on and on and on and on through the universe in one direction, and somebody else would just go west and go on and on and on and on and on. Well, you'd never get to the end of it, would you? Such is the vast difference, vast gap between east and west. So far, says David, has the Lord removed our transgressions from us. And this is not the only place that the scripture speaks about, where the scripture speaks about the forgiveness of sins, the complete forgiveness of the sins of those who trust in him. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, God promises that under the new covenant, no longer shall each one teach his neighbor, saying, and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Or think again also of what God says in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Micah says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to God, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? What God, Micah says, what God is like God? Is there a God anywhere in the whole universe who is like God, who forgives sins? And the answer, of course, is no. There is no other God like him. He is the only one who forgives sins. Well, he's the only God, but he's the only God who can forgive, who does forgive sins. And he continues, he does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Gone forever. Buried. Finished. Now remember that these words are said about the God who is so pure and holy that just one sin committed once is enough to cause his righteous anger to burn against the culprit for all eternity in hell. So how can such a pure and holy and righteous God forgive sins and not be guilty of being unjust? The answer is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The eternal Son of God, who is divine like the Father, took on human flesh. He lived a perfect life. But then he died upon a piece of wood. And the scripture says, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. Which effectively is what happened to Jesus as he hung on that tree. But why was he cursed? He'd never done anything wrong. The answer is that he was punished for all the sins of all those who would put their trust in him. He bore their guilt so that they do not have to be punished for their own sins. He was their substitute. Being punished for the wrong that they had done. And this means that for the person who comes to Christ, acknowledging his sin and turning from it and putting his or her full confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that one is completely forgiven for all of his or her wrongdoing. This is how Isaiah puts it in chapter 53 of his book of prophecy, chapter 53, verses 4 to 6. He says, surely he, that is the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So you see what these verses are saying. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, bore our sins. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was punished for our iniquities, not for his own, but for ours. There had to be a payment for sin. Somebody had to be punished. Otherwise, there would be no justice in this world. But God provided his own Son to bear that punishment that we deserve for our sins. And the Father has laid on him the guilt of all those who trust in him. Paul also writes in Colossians chapter 2, and verse 13 and 14, he says, and you who were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Each one of us has a great long list of ways in which we have broken God's law. That list is too big to contemplate. And for many of us, it would be exceedingly embarrassing if that list were to be read out. But that great list, that verse says, has been taken for each one of us, has been taken, and it's been nailed to the cross. Our sins have been treated as though they were Jesus' sins. He has been found guilty for the wrong that we have done. And he has been punished in our place for all those who trust in him. For whom are these things true? The answer is, these things are true for those people who've been saved by Christ. And who are they? They are those who have confessed their sins to God, turned from them, and have asked God to save them on the basis of what Christ did on the cross. I stress this. We must ask for forgiveness on the basis of what Jesus did. If you come to God and say, God, please forgive me, I've been trying really hard. You know I'm basically quite a good person. And you know I want to do good. If you point to anything in yourself, there's no forgiveness for you. But if you come to God and you say, God, there's nothing good about me at all. I deserve hell 1,000 times over. But I believe that you gave Jesus to die on the cross for sinners. Please will you save me for his sake? Because of what he did. I want to look to him and what he has done for sinners. Please save me for the sake of your son. For the sake of what he did. Because of what he did on the cross. I'm relying on him. Not myself, but on him alone. If you come to him on that basis, then for you, there is complete forgiveness of sins. Well, how can we apply this? How can you apply this to yourself? Well, the first thing to say is this. If you've not yet been saved, come to God through Jesus Christ. Get right with him. Pray for salvation. Pray that your sins will be forgiven. And look to what he did on that cross. Hear these words from Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, which says this: Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God. For he will freely pardon. Will you do that this morning? Will you seek the Lord while he may be found? Will you call on him while he is near? If you've not done so before, will you come to him? You can be saved today. You can be saved right now as you're sitting there in your pew. You can be saved. You can have all your sins forgiven, because God has done everything that is necessary for you to be forgiven. You just need to come. Forsake your sins. Put your trust in Jesus today. Ask him to save you today, that you might know him in your life. Now, what about those of us who have already asked to be saved? Well, I would say to those of us who have already asked to be saved, there's things that we need to do as well. First of all, it's really important once you have asked to be saved and you have asked to be forgiven that you believe you're forgiven. That you believe the promise of God. Some people have great difficulty in believing that they really are forgiven. Some people experience a sort of stabbing pain in the heart when they remember sins done many years ago. Maybe things that you're ashamed of, and they come to your memory again. Oh no, I did that thing. And it comes to you again, and you think, oh, why did I do that? Believe the promise of God that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the promise. Perhaps you go around in your life sort of permanently under a cloud. You just all the time think, I am unworthy. I'm a terrible person. I've been really bad. All of that is true. But also, if you have trusted in Christ, you are forgiven. The debt has been paid. You are justified before God. So believe the promise of God. Don't allow the devil to put you permanently under a sense of condemnation, permanently under a sense of accusation. Remember the words from in John's first letter, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've confessed your sins to God, and you've looked to God for forgiveness of your sins, that verse says, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, if God did not forgive you your sins, he would be unjust. Have you ever thought about that? Because those sins, if you look to Jesus, those sins are paid for by Jesus. If they then got punished, them having been paid for, God would be punishing those same sins twice. He can't do that, because if you've looked to Jesus, those sins are already paid for by Jesus. So the justice of God, not just the mercy of God, the justice of God demands that you're forgiven. If you've come to Jesus, if you believe Jesus for salvation, believe in his forgiveness. Believe that you are declared righteous before God. What does the scripture say? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Romans 5 verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The debt has been paid for you if you have believed in Christ. Believe that. Lift your head up high, not because you are worthy, but because Christ is worthy. Because he has paid the price for your sins. You know, if you still doubt that you are forgiven, effectively you're calling God a liar. Because he has testified that if you've looked to Jesus, you are forgiven. Take God at his word and believe what he has said. So that's another application for those of us who have believed Christ for salvation. A third application, another application is this. If you have already believed Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, don't just stop there. Don't just say, okay, well, I prayed that prayer of forgiveness, all those prayer for salvation all those years ago, so I'm saved. Finished. No. Go to the Lord every day for fresh forgiveness. Because you are going to sin every day. Those Christians who say, oh, once you've had a certain experience, you don't sin anymore, they're living in cloud cuckoo land. Every believer carries on sinning right to the end of his or her life. It'll only be when we see the Lord face to face that we will become perfect. Now, when you sin as a believer, you don't lose your salvation. Thanks be to God. You don't have to get re-saved all over again. That's a mistake that some Christians make. They say, oh, well, you know, you come to Christ, you get saved, and then you backslide, and then you lose your salvation, and then you come back to Christ, you get saved again, and then you lose your salvation again, and so back and forth in and out of the kingdom of God. No. Once you've trusted in Christ for salvation, you are declared righteous in God's sight forever. You are forgiven forever in that once and for all saved sense. But when you sin as a Christian, that sin comes as like a cloud between you and God. You're still saved. You're still a child of God. But it means that your relationship with him has become more distant. And that's going to continue. That distance will continue until you repent afresh and until you confess that sin, that fresh sin to God, and you receive forgiveness from him afresh. An illustration of this is when you remember when Jesus wanted to wash the feet of Peter, and Jesus said, and Peter at first declined, and then Jesus said to Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. And then Peter said, oh, in that case, wash all of me. And Jesus said, he who's had a bath doesn't need to have a bath again, but you still need to have your feet washed. So once you've been saved, you don't need to have that bath again, but you still need your feet washed. As you've been walking through this world, you still need to be cleansed from the sins you've committed that day. So at the end of each day, look back over your life and say to the Lord, how have I sinned today? Confess your sins to him and receive fresh forgiveness. And then the final application from this I'll make, and I'm not going to continue to my other two points today because I think this will be enough for us today, is if we've been forgiven, we must forgive those who've wronged us. If we have been forgiven so much by God, how can we not also forgive those whose moral debt to us is much less than the moral debt that we had to God? Surely, I mean, think about it, the sins that you and I have committed against God are enormous because they're sins against the eternal God, the Almighty God. The sins that others have committed against us are trivial in comparison, because they're just sins against another human being. So if God has forgiven the huge debt that we had against him, we must also forgive those who have sinned against us. And so Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, "Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We need to imitate God. And one way in which we should imitate God is by being forgiving as towards others, as God has been to us. Now, this might raise a question in someone's mind. You might say, well, what should I do if the person who has wronged me has not asked me for forgiveness? What if he thinks he hasn't done anything wrong at all? What should I do? How can I forgive somebody who hasn't asked to be forgiven? Well, the answer is you can't, in the proper sense, because forgiveness is a transaction. When somebody comes to you and says, "Please forgive me," and then you give that forgiveness. But what we do need to have is that attitude whereby we are willing to forgive. We should not bear any grudge against the person who's wronged us. We should wish him well and pray that he will come to repentance. And we should have the determination that if he was to come to us, I say he or she was to come to us and ask for forgiveness, we would very readily and willingly forgive that person. Well, I was hoping this morning I could bring out three things from this psalm, but I think I should stop there, because I don't want to exhaust you all. And we'll come back maybe another time to the other two things I was wanting to draw out, which is that the God shows compassion to his children, remembering that they are dust, and also that God's love is everlasting to those who fear him. But as we finish, let me just ask again, have you received this forgiveness? Have you come to Christ? Look, he's saying, look, I've got this wonderful gift for you, this wonderful forgiveness. Will you come to him? Will you receive it from him? He's done all that's necessary. He's died on the cross. You just need to reach out your hand, confess your sins, and ask for that forgiveness. May God move each one of us. If there's anybody here who's not done that before, may God move that person to come to him. Well, we'll just have a few moments of quiet now where we can just think about what we've heard, pray over it. Maybe you might want to make your peace with God. Maybe you might want to, in your heart, forgive somebody who's wronged you. Maybe you're a Christian, but you haven't been really believing you're forgiven. Maybe you want to just claim that forgiveness from God. Whatever it is, let's have that time with the Lord just for a few moments before we sing our next hymn.